Last week we talked about being bold, and the week before that, and the week before that, and we're going to continue talking about being bold. And last week we asked if you believed in miracles, and if you wanted to see a miracle, that you would you stand and would you believe with your whole heart for a miracle? And there's another side of that whole thing of just not just standing and praying for the miracle to happen, but to actually act on the miracle and not just say, well, I'm willing to accept whatever happens, because that's not what we do when we pray for a miracle, right? We pray, we believe, and we act, and we use that. We believe and we achieve. When we fully believe with our full heart, we start to see God at work. And when we have no doubt, when we have no unbelief and disbelief in our life, we start to see God at work more and more each day, don't we? And when we live our life with a, well, I'm going to pray and then whatever happens, happens, that's not how we can live. We need to live our life. We need to pray, we need to believe, and we need to step in obediently, which is what we're going to talk about today. So if you're in agreement with a miracle, or if you need to see God moving in your life, and you're willing to step out and boldly live your life in obedience and live how He has called us to live and walk through the open heaven that is there, I'm going to invite you to just pray with us. And if you don't need a miracle today, I'm just going to ask that you pray in agreements, with full agreements. And if you can't pray in agreements with full agreements and you have doubt, then I'm asking you not to pray with us right now. It's a weird thing to say in church, but we need you to be in full agreements when we're praying together and asking for a miracle. We need to be full of faith. We need to be full of boldness when we come before God and ask for this. So would you guys pray with me? And if you have a need, I'm going to ask you to throw your hand up, and we're just going to pray in agreements with you. And my hand's up because we have a need. So let's pray together. Father God, we come before you with your Son Jesus side by side, and we are asking God for this miracle that each of us with our hands up has a need for. Father, we are asking, Father, for you to step into the situation, Father, as we need you to step in. And Father, allow us to see this miracle come to fruition before our very eyes, Father. God, whether it be a healing need, Father, whether it be a financial need, a job need, whether it be a relationship need, Father, we pray right now in Jesus' name that need is met 100%. And Father, if we have any unbelief, Father, reveal that to us, Father, so that we can correct our unbelief and walk in accordance with you and your promises and in your blessings, Father. God, we praise you and thank you for all you've done for us, God, and that you continue to do. God, I pray that today as we talk about bold obedience, Father, that we would start shifting and shaping how we live our life to be one of full obedience. God, we love you and we honor you. And God, I pray that this morning you would reveal stuff to us. Or even if we don't need something revealed, that you would even reveal just how we are doing it right, Father, or what we need to shift and adjust. So God, we love you, we honor you, and we thank you for opportunities to gather and have opportunities to sing your blessings and sing songs that we know are true about you and that what you've called us to do. God, we thank you that we will see miracles. Thank you that you've knocked down giants. Thank you for your promises. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat. If you're watching online, you can have a seat, or you can get a pillow under your bum so you're more comfortable, or whatever you need. We're with you. I don't get to sit on a pillow, but sometimes I do because it makes me feel taller. That's a funny joke. Come on, I'm tall, I know. But my daughter called me a shorty because I was standing beside our sunflowers in our garden and they're taller than me. So I'm struggling with my height today. So we're talking about bold obedience, and we're in this series about boldness. And so I just want to really highlight a couple things about bold obedience today. And I don't want to take up a bunch of our Sunday on this beautiful long weekend that we've been blessed with, but it's the last day of this series called Be Bold. And we've been walking through and looking through Acts, chapters 4 and chapters 5. And today we're going to be hanging out a bit in chapters 5, if you will. So Are you ready to talk about bold obedience? Awesome. That's excellent. That's a good start, because we're going to talk about it no matter whether you're ready to or not. So I got a little story for you. Story time. I remember years ago, and I've shared this story lots of times, and this isn't an opportunity to talk about giving or tithing. That's not what this is about. But what I'm here to talk about is being bold and bold obedience. So we just moved from Meadow Lake to Lloydminster, and we had a beautiful home in Meadow Lake, and we sold it. And our mortgage specialist we were crazy for listening. If you look back and you think, boy, that was nuts. But we listened, and we stepped into what we believed was the right steps for us. And in the end, it turned out as we walked through it. Anyways, long story, I'll just jump back into my real story. We bought this home, built in the 80s, and we had some issues with leaking windows. And in the wintertime, you would see giant icicles hanging outside of the windows, and it was like it was being pushed out of the window. That's how much ice was being formed. And there was the roof just had ice being formed on it all winter long. It wouldn't even be warm out, and we'd have ice being formed and giant icicles hanging there too. And you would touch bedroom windows, and it would be cold to the touch. I'm just trying to really paint this picture for you, okay? You touch these windows. Nora was just born, and we'd have to put her to bed with a toque. That's how cold it was in our house. There was times you could almost see your breath, I think. We had to aim a fan down the hallway to try to even get the furnace to kick in, though, because the heat was just being stolen everywhere except in the hallway, which was nice and isolated and warm. It was like a tropical paradise. If we could have set up our couch in there, it would have been great, but we didn't. But anyways, we were getting gas heating bills of like $700, $600 a month for some of these months. Now, let me tell you, we bought that house, and we were making a very good salary in Meadow Lake. And when we moved to Lloydminster, we went from making over 30 to some dollars an hour for me to making $12 an hour. Because we felt at the time we were supposed to move to Lloydminster, and we just jumped to the first opportunity we had. And then we jumped to this first house, which was $50,000 more than the house we had in Meadow Lake. But it worked for us, and it seemed functional. And it was crazy, because I look back and I'm like, how did we afford that? But it doesn't matter. But we believed in this principle called tithing. Has anybody ever heard of this principle called tithing? So this principle called tithing, it's in the Bible. Check it out. We'll talk about it sometimes off and on. But we got to this point where it's like, God, I don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. We either buy groceries, or we pay some bills, or we give our tithe. And so we chose to give our tithe. And most people look at that and say, you're an idiot. What about your family? What about having power? And this was a moment of fully trusting God. And here's why I say that. Because we gave our tithe, and we didn't know how we were going to pinch the pennies to make ends meet. We just went from a job of $35 an hour in 1990, I'm really making myself sound old, in 2004, which was pretty good money, to a job of making $12. I could have made the same at McDonald's almost. But we decided to tithe. And Stacy's like, she's doing the bank book online. She's like, I don't know where this money just came from. And all of a sudden, there's a bunch of money in the bank account. And the next day, we check the mail, because this is when the mail still came to your house. And we check the mail, and all of a sudden, we got this Ralph Bucks, these hundreds and hundreds of dollars, which was more than enough to cover our bills. So we got all this more money in our bank account, miraculously. And then we got this miraculous money from the province of Alberta that we shouldn't have got, but we were eligible to get, that we didn't apply for, but they wanted to give us, so I was willing to cash their check. And on top of that, the next day we got a raise. And I know that the Lord provides when we are faithful and when we honor His principles. I shouldn't have been in that, we shouldn't have put ourselves in that situation where it was like so tight. We didn't really think about it, we didn't know, we were young, we made foolish mistakes. But in the end, the Lord still honored us when we honored Him. And we were bold and we were obedient to His word and what He has called us to do. And I believe that God wants to speak to you and wants you to respond to the promptings of the Spirit or the teachings of his word. And I believe that when you boldly obey, you will experience his presence in a very new and a very real way. Amen? So let me give you some context for today. Acts chapter 5. So if you haven't been with us, Peter and John were some bold guys. They were preaching Jesus, and the guys, these religious guys, the Sanhedrin, didn't believe in the resurrection of Jesus. And they said to them, you guys got to stop. And they didn't. They kept doing what they were doing. And God gave them the ability and the faith to see a guy who had been a lame guy for 40 years. A crippled guy. Sorry, I always say lame. And then my kids think that I'm a lame guy. But a crippled guy for 40 years. And they prayed and they said, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And the guy got up and walked. Amen? And we can see this in our lives today if we stand and we live with boldness. Anyways, that kind of put the religious guys in a bit of a pickle because they wanted to keep the apostles locked up. But they couldn't because everybody knew about the lame guy that was walking, this miracle that had happened. And so these guys, these Peter and John, they're praying and people are being healed. They're casting out demons and people are being restored to God. These demons are fleeing and people are becoming Christians. So religious leaders, they felt this pressure. And they're like, we got to shut this down. And they knew if they didn't, that Rome would come in and say, okay, little guys, you can't handle the job. We're going to handle the job for you. And we'll strip you of your power, and we're going to get it done. And that's kind of where we're at today. So these religious guys, they were jealous, and they felt the pressure. And that's where we're going to start today in Acts 5:17. And the scripture says this. Then the high priest and all the associates who were members of the party of the Sadducees were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Go stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people the full message of this new life. It's Acts 5:17-20, in case you're wondering. So what's going on? What are we going to do? We're going to watch as these apostles boldly obey. And I want to show you three principles that you may experience in your bold obedience of life, okay? So if you've kept up with me, if you're keeping up with me right now, we've got these three principles. The first one is this. The first thing you have to remember is bold obedience usually triggers some form of opposition. And we talked about this in our series while quarantine was on about there's usually some form of spiritual attack. There's usually some form of personal attack. There's usually something. I'm not saying always. I'm not saying it's always going to happen, but usually there's something that tries to discourage you, discredit you, change your focus. And as we read in verse 18, they, the religious leaders, arrested the apostles and put them in public jail. That sounds like a bit of an opposition. It's not God didn't put them in jail. The religious leaders, these God people, these religious folks, religious guys, however you want to call them, put these guys in jail because they didn't like what was going on. Now, I'm not saying you're going to be arrested either. Maybe it's someone speaking some doubt into your situation. Like, well, are you sure God really wants to heal you? Like, it hasn't happened yet, so is it going to happen? Or maybe, you know, why would you give your money to that church anyways? Because you know, that's old school, Old Testament belief, or, you know, there's so many things. Do you understand what I'm saying by some of these doubtful thoughts that some people try to throw at you? People that aren't walking in faith and walking in belief, but walking by human eyes, human life, that's what that is about. Maybe it's a group of people. Maybe it's some form of opposition. Maybe it's fear in your own life, though, that is causing that too. But when we decided to apply here at this church, and when we agreed to accept the offer after preaching here, there was some opposition, okay? Trust coming. And maybe Nathan remembers this, but I remember Nathan calling me, and I had this internal battle going on in my head, and it was fear. And I had to battle through, and It's up to you to battle through the opposition in your life. It's up to you to change your perspective. And we're going to, oh, let's talk about that opposition. Why don't we do that? That's another fun story. Not fun because it's an embarrassing story because I didn't step boldly in right away. But we came and preached and, hang on, I'm getting myself confused. I think I have that later. We're going to talk about that later. I don't even want to wreck that story, guys. We're going to save that story. We're going to build it in excitement. That's what we're going to do. We're going to build some fun. We're going to anticipation. We're going to build some anticipation to that story to keep you engaged. But the second thing, when you boldly obey, boy, is it often releases God's miracles in your life. When you boldly obey, you're going to see God's miracles released in your life. And that, when I said that, that should have got an amen. That should have got some excitement. I'm sad it didn't. So when we live in a life of bold obedience, it often releases God's miracles in your life. Amen. Thank you. And that excites me, and I pray it excites you. When you obey, you can expect God to show up and work supernaturally through your life. And in verse 19, I love this. Now, if you remember this, this is Luke, the doctor, Dr. Luke, who is writing Acts, okay? So let's read verse 19. And listen to the statement that is made. There's no emotion. There's no big setup behind the story. There's no anticipation like I'm giving you guys to my story later. There's just a statement. Okay, what does it say? But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Not, there was this angel and he came flying through the ceiling and there he is. And he grabbed the gates and he threw them open. That's not, it's just, an angel showed up, opened the doors and we walked out. That's Dr. Luke. It's just a statement. Now let's be honest. If it was me, maybe if it was you, you'd get a little fired up and excited, right? And maybe I would have wrote, hey, you guys aren't going to believe this. What happened next? This angel, and he's 9-10 feet tall, and he's got this big sword and a big shield, and he shows up. Maybe that's how I would tell the story, but Luke didn't. Dr. Luke didn't. Maybe he rode in on an elephant because that's a big animal, and it busts through the wall. I don't know. But there's a lock, and they're in a cell, and an angel just showed up and opened the door, and out they walked. I'd be like, hey, angel, can we get a picture here? Like, you guys saw me. You saw me on my hammock yesterday, right? And maybe this is what it's like, but it's just a statement because they expect it. They expect it. They expected a miracle. They expected God to be at work in their life. But yet far too often, we're like, what just happened? I don't know. But we should be expecting God to show up and be responsive and act in our life every day. Amen. When we live in obedience, we need to expect miracles. We can't be surprised when God shows up and does the supernatural. Sure, they're in prison. That was bad. But in the middle of a bad day, the provision of God through an angel shows up and lets them out. Don't be surprised when God comes through. Expect it. Expect miracles in your life when you're walking in obedience and when you're walking boldly in obedience. Amen? How many of you are praying bold prayers right now? I'm not looking for, it's a rhetorical question. I'm not looking for hands. Not looking for, if I was beside Stacy, she'd be nudging me. It's you. I'm not sitting beside her so I don't get sore ribs. But right now, we're praying for miracles. We're praying bold prayers in our house right now. Because we need miracles. And I'm like, we prayed at the start of service. You guys are need miracles. We're expecting miracles. We're expecting God. And know God is going to show up when we live boldly. Amen? Bold prayers. Living in obedience, miracles being released. Obedience often releases God's miracles. And the third thing is it requires faith. Bold obedience requires faith. Bold obedience always requires faith. You can't just be bold and not be living by faith. That would kind of eliminate some of the need for the boldness. See, every single time God prompts you to do something, it's going to take some faith to obey him, isn't it? It's going to take faith. It's not like George Michael. Maybe you don't remember that song. I remember George Michael playing his guitar when I was a kid, and he had his foot against the amp, and he was playing and tapping his foot. Anyways, he said it's got to take faith, and I'm not going to sing you guys again because Lyle turned my voice down when I sang the last time. None of you guys have that privilege. Maybe a couple of you do, but you would have to listen to me sing, and we don't want to go there. Anyways, verse 20, what did the angel of the Lord say to them? Go stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people the full message of this new life. This life in Jesus. Go and tell them the life that you have because of Jesus. That's what that statement is saying. Go out to the courts, go out into the yard, and tell them about Jesus. Tell them about the resurrected Jesus. Do miracles. Let them experience all that he has. They were just locked up in jail. But they were told to go do something bold. Go back and do what you were just put in jail to do and I just got you out of. That's basically what they were told to do. I mean, let's be honest. Let's think about this, I guess. Go back and tell these people. And let's see what happens with the people that have the power and authority to take your life or throw you back in jail and do it all over again and see what happens. It takes faith to be obedient sometimes. And when God prompts you to do something, it takes faith. Maybe you're like me. Maybe you don't know what I'm like. That might be better. But I'm a little analytical, okay? I'm analytical. I like to plan, okay? I used to think I was kind of like a wild card and let's go here, let's go there, but I'm not. I've discovered that about myself. I'm a planner. I need to know the plan. I need to know the details. I need to know how it's going to work. I need to know the purpose. I need to know, okay? If those of you that know me, would you agree? My wife is nodding yes, so if the rest of you disagree, you should talk to her and she'll tell you that it's annoying sometimes, I'm sure. We'll go on holidays and I will plan every second of our day. And she's like, can't we just go have fun? No. We need to plan it first so that way we know we're going to have fun. So I want to tell you that. Now I'm going to tell you this story, my big crescendo story, okay? And please, if you think, well, here's the pastor, he shouldn't have doubt like that. I'm a human being as well. And I needed to grow in my faith at this point. So don't throw rocks. Because I believe that sometimes when we ask God for the details, he's like, I'm not going to give you the details yet. You can't handle the details. Just step forward in faith. Rosetown. See, we had just finished going through this little bit of season of hurt in Lloydminster, and we went to North Harvest in Prince Albert, who were so gracious to walk with us through this healing process. And then by May of the year I came here, I don't even think we were really looking anywhere too seriously. And I remember being at district conference, and Pastor John Drisner, the superintendent at the time, says to me, Dave, in his deep voice and loud voice, commanding voice, if you ever listen to him, when he preaches, when he was here, he'll talk really quiet, and then he'll get loud because he's really good at this crescendo thing. Anyway, he said my voice with a lot of crescendo, and he's like, what about Rosetown? And I might have snorted a little bit and laughed because it wasn't even on my radar. It's not that I don't love this place. It's just at the time, it wasn't even on my radar, wasn't on my thought process. I barely knew where Rosetown was other than it had some car lots, okay? Let's be honest here. And we might have been making some plans to settle back in Lloyd, but then things took a twist. And through that whole twist, I got exhausted. And I was trying to do what Dave traditionally did back then, and sometimes still today when I try to control my life in a box, and tried to plan. And I couldn't do it. Nothing was working out. And I was getting exhausted emotionally, physically, spiritually. I was done. I had hit a wall. I was like, why can't this work out? This should make sense to me now. Why are my plans not happening the way I think they should be happening at this moment? God, reveal to me what you want. And we were getting ready to go to do a wedding up in Grand Prairie for Stacy's cousin. And I had to do the wedding, like I was performing the wedding. And I was just frustrated. I was so tired, I couldn't even drive. And if you know me, I love to drive. I'll just drive. But I couldn't even drive, I was so exhausted. So Stacy wants to listen to one of my favorite pastors. And we go through the beginning of the talk that he does, this pastor. He'll always tell the people to hold up their Bible and tells that, and they repeat after him, you know, this is my Bible. You know the rest, I'm sure. What it says is true about me. I'm just paraphrasing now, but he has plans for me. And we were driving, and I was like, oh, do we have to listen to him now? I'm not ready. I just need a break. I need a brain break. No, I think this will be good for us to listen to him. So I'm listening to the pastor speak. And it was probably one of the most, I'm going to try not to cry because I don't like crying, but it was one of the most incredible messages about living by faith and being obedient to what God has for you and being obedient to his call in your life and being obedient and stepping out and having the faith to step out boldly. And I was like, I don't even know what this means. I'm trying to do that. I don't understand, God. I wanted details. We had none. So we're driving, and after driving, I think pretty much right after that message was done, I pulled open my phone and go to the PAOC website, and I looked at Stacy, and I said what Pastor John said to me. What about Rosetown? And at that, I think there was a few months had passed by. 2 months, I think, had passed by between this, 2.5 months even. Between this and Pastor John. So we spent the weekend praying, and up to that point, I was trying to force a square peg into a round hole. I was trying to figure out, what is your plan for me, God? But what about Rosetown? You want to start about a place to start, a starting point to start obeying. Start obeying with where he leads you to. See, the Bible says, what does the Bible say about his word? What is it? It's a lamp unto our feet, isn't it? It's a light unto our path. Doesn't mean the whole highway is going to be lit up and say, okay, we're going to go down the I-95 to the H-71, and then we're going to take a left there, and we're going to go here for 1.1 miles, and sometimes it's just that light unto our feet. Sometimes you get the whole highway lit up. This is, you know, ever watch those cartoons or some of those movies where they're showing that they're going on a trip and they show the map and they show the red line. Here's where they're going to go. That's what I thought it was going to be like in this case because I've had that happen and it was awesome because I had the details. But at that point, I couldn't handle the details. And we knew we just had to step out in faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. So, back to the story. We get back to Lloydminster on Sunday. And it was like Stacy and I finally had a chance to talk because up until that point I had to be on because I was marrying this couple and then we were hanging out with her family and we didn't get a chance to talk, but we were both in prayer about it. And so I think Sunday night it was like, well, what about Rosetown? And we didn't have details. I didn't know that this is where how God's going to have you do ministry in Rosetown or, you know, I didn't even know I was going to get the job. I'm just being obedient. But I knew that Rosetown was where we needed to start. on being obedient. So we applied on Monday. And I'll tell you, the next little while was a whirlwind. I don't even really remember what transpired fully. I remember parts and pieces. We came for an interview a few weeks later. We were going to a football game. I don't think I came with my green paint on. Did I? Yeah, I did. And it was at that moment. But we were starting our holiday. So the committee, the search committee, was so gracious to reschedule their day to allow us to start our holiday as well at the same time. And you know when you're kind of seeing things, but you're not really sure what it means? And you have this vision, but you don't really know what it means, how it's going to fall into place, how to even make it all work, and how the pieces interact. It's like having a puzzle, and it's not really, you don't have the full puzzle. You just kind of have a blurred picture. And I put something on my resume about, you know, just excited to potentially see what God has for us here and, you know, utilize this vision that I feel God is giving us. And at the time, I could see the picture, but it wasn't clear. You know what I mean? Have you ever had that? It was coming clear. And I remember Nathan saying, "So what is your vision for the church?" And I said, "I don't really know yet. It's just coming." It's kind of what I said. I don't have a clear picture yet, but I know that I might be part of it. And I really didn't know much beyond that, and things were just slowly coming. And I was shocked when I got a call later from them, and I was just kind of put at the back of my head, because honestly, there's times where maybe you've had an interview, and you go through the interview, and you're like, "Yep, nailed it." When they're going to be calling me in 2 minutes. And this was not one of those times. I walked out, and I'm like, "I was okay. I might have scared them off. We'll see what happens." And I was shocked when the committee invited me to come and preach, and we did. And if you don't know us, that was a big step of faith for us. And we stepped in, and we preached. We got to hang out. We got to eat some amazing food. And then, I know I'm really telling a long story, and I apologize, but this is important for us. And then the next weekend, Nathan called me and said, "Well, we had the meeting. You're in, 100%. And I was like, "Great. I don't know what to do now. I don't know what to do now. I don't have all the details. I don't have the clear picture yet. The puzzle's not put together in front of my eyes," and I panicked. And I didn't say no, but I just like, "I need to talk to Stacy. I need some details." I might have been white, but we're at her family gathering, so I'm trying to smile, but I'm white on the inside, and I'm a little nervous. We didn't have the details, and I'm the details guy. I thought I would have a clear picture when he called and said, "Yeah, 100%, you're good to go. When do you want to start?" I thought, "Oh, there's the picture. That's what I've been waiting for." But I didn't get it. So I just said, "Can I call you tomorrow? I need to talk to Stacy before I come in." I mean, that makes sense, doesn't it? I think so. Well, yes, make me feel better, okay? I didn't have the details. So we took the bold step. And I'll tell you guys what. Yesterday, Stacy and I were talking a little bit in the evening, and I couldn't be more happy with our life right now. I couldn't feel more blessed in my life. I couldn't feel more fulfilled in my life than I feel right now. So I thank you, because it took some bold steps, and I still don't have all the details. There's once in a while, there's a new puzzle piece that shows up, and I'm like, "Where does that fit in that puzzle picture? I don't remember that one." Or maybe sometimes the picture changes, but we step forward in faith. Bold obedience always requires faith. Always. And we step forward in faith, and it's been amazing. So now, these two fellas are told to go and preach in the courtyard. So what do they do? Acts 5:21 tells us they did this. At daybreak, they entered the temple courts as they had been told and began to teach the people. Look at what they didn't do. They didn't delay. They didn't pause and say, well, first let me see if we can get some backup around here so that these guys can't get at me so that I can preach. They just went and boldly preached. They fully obeyed. And I learned something through that, and I learned something through what we went through. And please hear my story when I say my delayed response wasn't, some of it was because I wanted to make sure my wife and family were on board. Because it's a big move, right? And it wasn't a delayed response to say, well, I don't know. But it was, guys, this is happening. Are you okay? Are we okay? I don't want to do this move if it's going to mess up everything. And I remember the comments from Ella and Nora and Seth, and Cohen and Kayla were quite young, but they were quite, I believe that they all were the same. What about Rosetown? We're going to Rosetown. And it wasn't like the fountain. You remember the fountain tire guy when he was getting the airplane thinking he was going to Hawaii and going to Winnipeg? It wasn't like that at all. They're like, we believe we're supposed to be going to Rosetown. We believe that is where we need to go. And we did it. It wasn't that it was doubtful. It was just I needed to confirm with my family that they were good. So when I make this next statement, it'll make sense why I'm clarifying that. Because delayed obedience is still disobedience. Partial obedience is still disobedience. When he calls us, we can't just run around and hide and, well, maybe eventually I'll do it when things kind of align better there. When I have all the details, then I'll step in and let's go. No, he called us, we went. You need to show obedience when he calls you to act. When God prompts you, you need to completely obey and obey immediately, no matter what. If it's big, you obey. If it's small and insignificant, what do? You obey. We always need to obey him. You always obey. So in the first week of the series, I'm going to invite Mary up. And in the first week of our series, I sang you guys a song. And I'm going to end this series with the same song. I'm not going to sing it this time, Lyle. Just, you don't have to turn them down. But it was be bold, and then you guys would repeat, be bold. So let's start again, okay? Be bold.
Be bold.
Be strong. For the Lord thy God is with me. You don't have to repeat that. Be bold.
Be bold.
Be strong. For the Lord thy God is with me. Because I'm not afraid. I'm not ashamed. Because I'm walking in faith and victory. How are you walking? Because the Lord thy God is with me. Amen? Let's walk boldly. Let's live boldly. Let's speak boldly. Let's pray boldly. We need to live and pray boldly. We need to walk boldly. We need to speak boldly. We need to obediently and boldly move forward in our life. So would you pray with me? And if you're in agreements with walking and living and praying and speaking boldly, would you just agree with me in prayer for you? I pray that that's our prayer as a church, is to be living boldly, speaking boldly, praying boldly, walking boldly, and obediently. So, Father, I pray that your Spirit would seal this truth in our hearts and in our minds. And, God, that we would be different. Because when we spend time with you, God, it always leads to more faith. It leads to more boldness, which always leads to results, God. So we thank you for those results. And, God, we pray that as we see those results, it'll create a greater desire for more of you, which drives us to more faith in you, God, which drives us to more boldness. God, I pray that we would go on this path of growing in our faith and growing in our boldness and growing in our obedience and growing in how we pray and how we speak, that we would know you in a greater way. God, call us to more, And God, call us to be more in love with you and your son, Jesus. God, I pray that as we grow in that the world around us would know and they would be amazed by our boldness for you. Father, I pray that we would live a life of boldness as you've called us to live. I pray, God, that we would fall so much in love with you, that we would just strive and seek you each day. And God, that we would take our opportunities that you've given us to share your love to others. God, I pray that we'll respond to your prompting with obedience, that we wouldn't hold back, we wouldn't hide, we wouldn't wait, but we would step forward in obedience. Even when there's opposition, God, I pray we would step forward. And especially when it takes faith, Father, I pray we would run forward. God, when we follow you, Father, I pray that we wouldn't be surprised when we see the miracles that you've promised in your scripture. When we follow you, I thank you that you've given us this desire in our hearts to chase after you and know you more. God, I'm excited for what you're going to be doing in these people and in our church and in our community as we get closer to fall and as we continue to step out in boldness and we boldly live as you've called us to live. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Guys, I'm going to do like I do every week, and we're going to give you guys an opportunity, whether you're watching Sunday church at home, online, or here in person, that if you don't know Jesus, we want to give you an opportunity to get to know Jesus. So maybe you know who Jesus is, but you haven't crossed that line and asked Jesus into your heart and got to know him in a relationship type way rather than a head knowledge way. Or maybe you're just like, yeah, this is speaking to me today, Pastor Dave, you know, this boldness that you've talked about, this bold living, this bold obedience, I need to do that. I need to start stepping forward. So if you don't know Jesus and you want to know Jesus, I'm going to invite you to just repeat a prayer after me. And those of you that know Jesus, I'm going to ask that you, just to make others that maybe want to take the step today, I'm going to invite you guys to just repeat after me as well, just to make those that are accepting Jesus feel more comfortable. And there's another side that we're going to do after we pray. So would you just bow your heads and just repeat after me? Dear God, I know that my sin has separated me from you. Thank you, Jesus, that you died in my place. Thank you, Jesus, you came to forgive my sins. Jesus, come into my life. Come into my heart. And lead me and guide me closer to you. And Father God, be with me as I grow in you. Lead and direct me in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you prayed that prayer for the first time, I invite you to contact the church, 306-882-2453, or call me through that, or you can, that's automatically forwarded to my cell phone, or email me lead@rosetownchurch.ca, or message me on Facebook, YouTube, whatever you need to do to connect with me, because we want to connect with you and we want to give you a Bible if you just accepted Jesus today. We're going to pray and we're going to get you on your way and get you out the doors, okay? Pray with me. God, we pray that you would bless each and every individual that is watching here, Father. I pray that you will have stirred us into obedience. Father, I pray that we would walk in obedience, that we would walk by faith and not by sight, that when we would see the picture, God, and Father, that you would reveal to us the picture so that we can walk towards where you're leading us to go. God, I pray that we would make impacts in this community, we would make impacts with our neighbors, and we would show your love to everyone. Father, I pray for each and every individual that is here in person or online, Father, that you would encourage them, build them up, strengthen them, God, and give them a joy that only you can bring. Father, that we would expect miracles in our lives because we know you and we live by faith. Bless us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Guys, God bless and have a great week.